Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Friday. It's Questions Friday. It's the 28th of July. I think we still have Monday, and then Tuesday, it's on. We're back in business again. We're going to be in August already, you guys, and it's just so hot out here. And it will be that way until, like, November. I mean, it'll stay that way. Honestly, it's like on Halloween, that day sometimes just starts to change our weather. But, oh, it's just something out here. So, anyway, we're enjoying the heat. I'm, like, darker than I was any other year just walking around because the sun is up so early in the morning. But it's summertime, so I guess that's what's to expect. But we have got a lot of questions, and when I put up one question, for some reason it erased another one, but I think the other question will be answered within these. So if I forgot your question, it was a short one, you can re-put it in the chat. But let me go ahead and start because we have a lot and I want to get through them, but they're such good questions. So this one, the first one is, and this one's anonymous, what does Christ say about expressing your feelings to someone you're very attracted to emotionally and physically, but who is in a relationship? Or because they're involved, should you walk away and forget? Well, there's two things that happen here. One is, it's hard to walk away and forget if you interact with that person all the time. Now, if you don't, you probably can at least just harness those feelings, and because you have to respect the relationship. And there's a big reason for that. Because let's say in the future, one day, the two of you have a relationship. Do you really want that if that person or you feel something for either of you to exit or to see if it will pass or to see if it stays? You never know where it's going. But the best thing, and this is all I asked Christ was, what do you do? This happens to a million people every minute. What happens? Because sometimes our attractions are a momentary thing. Sometimes they're a what if. Sometimes they're a mystery. We have attractions. And sometimes when they're emotional, both people will know something because it won't just happen to one alone. Now, if you work together and you see each other all the time and you can't help, you know, but being drawn to each other, you guys hang around with each other, you might have a good friendship or something going on. That's different in the sense that you both will have a sense of it or glimmers of, hey, you know what if? If that actually happens, it has to kind of come from the other person because they're the ones in a relationship. But what you don't want to do is to put yourself in a position of saying something, that person being startled or surprised by it, sharing it with their partner, and jeopardizing your relationship. I have seen it many times. So in this case, it really is just exactly what Christ said, was just to be patient, and whatever is there, if it's going to be there and it's going to stay and it's not moving and going anywhere else, then somehow the two of you will find it together because maybe you knew it beforehand or she caught up to it or maybe, you know, she or he knew it and they, you know, start to figure it out over time. But if there's something said when someone's in a relationship, because we don't really know what goes on in anybody's relationship, we don't know how close they are, we don't know how much, you know, they need each other, how much they depend on each other, because it's kind of like a little mini civilization. And attractions will come and go at times, and they might be momentary. They might be just because, let's say, two people are working on a project and that. And if it's strong enough, to distract them from their entire life, then at that point they have to act on it, because it's not fair to anyone if that's going on. And most of the time when that happens, two people can't help it, and they actually do try to do the right thing. It might not be easy, but they do. Because some people will just take on to cheating and create a secondary relationship, which just complicates everybody's lives and, you know, creates a lot of drama. But in cases like this, it's got to be held, you know, on your own, and really be patient. Be patient, because when someone's in a relationship, it involves a lot of things. They may be living together or not. They may have shared goals. You know, you never even know. I mean, I know some who've shared pets. They may not be married or anything yet, but they're sharing pets. They're sharing a lot of things. And, you know, they already have a full-fledged life. So you have to be conscious of the fact that you don't know how involved they are in their relationship. And the other person, if there is a sign, will probably say something to you like, do you realize something's going on here? Or isn't this weird? I'm feeling this or that. And somewhere it may come out. But honestly, it can't. I wouldn't put myself in the position of, you know, kind of intruding. Because you do know there's a relationship. But having very strong feelings almost makes everything else look smaller. And, you know, just be patient. If that's something that's meant to be, it will find its way. It will find its way. Sometimes the other relationships, you know, over time, the two people realize they're not right for each other or something like that, and you end up saying, you know, when that person's available, my God, I've had these feelings for a long time. But you never know. These feelings may be preparing you to meet someone who is available. And that's where Christ says, just be patient. Live with the excitement of that feeling, of feeling that love, feeling that warmth, and it may transfer to you actually meeting somebody who's even more right, more available for you. You never know. Life has got some great tricks up its sleeve. It's amazing. But the more amazing thing is that when you do the right thing, more of the right things in life for you are what you're attracted to. It's like your standards rise. It's almost like this magical effect that you don't expect. Because once you have these feelings, and let's say you have not had these feelings for a while, and all of a sudden you have these feelings for this person, and you're, you know, maybe scared that, wow, well, these feelings only come once in a while, they're far and few between, and all of that. It doesn't mean that we jump in onto someone's relationship. That's a big question. And like I said in the beginning, it's because when you're in one, you don't want that to happen. Because people aren't like jumping beans. We take our time. We figure things out. We let life tell us what to do, where to go. When you said, what does Christ say? The first thing I asked was, what should this be? And he said, just be patient. Time will answer every question. People will come to you, and people will say things when the feelings are strong enough. And the other thing, you know, is that when a relationship isn't right for one person, and this is something I put as a quote from time to time, but that came from the beginning with Christ, and he said, you know, if the relationship isn't right for one person, it isn't right for both. And in truth, it might not be right for both right now. So be patient. See what happens. Allow life to take you there. And enjoy the feelings of feeling love for anybody. Because sometimes even silently, there's this great magic in knowing that you feel that again. And again, this person may be gifting you the preparation to meet somebody that you will have a relationship with, or it could be them. We never know, because life doesn't give us a script. But being patient is what to do in those situations. And another facet of that is sometimes when somebody is attracted to someone in a relationship and they approach them, it confuses the heck out of the other person. Because now, if they did have an inkling of a feeling and they go home, now they're dealing with, oh my gosh, this person's attracted to me. Now, every time this couple has a fight or an argument or a disagreement, the other person starts thinking, oh, well, I have an alternative and all of this. And you don't want to be at the end of them running away from something. If someone comes to you, let it be them coming to you cleanly, them coming to you in the way they need to come to you. It will give you a different sense of respect for yourself and for the potential or the future of having a relationship with that person if that comes up. And I it's a trail, but there's a lot of integrity built in into patience. I know people, we all want to react right away because it's exciting, it's fun, it's like, oh my God. But at the same time, if you can catch yourself on the front end from going that far with it, allow life to show you where to go. So I hope that answered your question. I have another question. It's a in relation to the Angels show. And this question is from Maureen Cook. And she says, do angels have colors, scents? Are they shape-shifting? Can they become visible or take on a human physical bodies at will and then evaporate into spirit again? When I watched my cat Peepers pass, he looked like he was fighting off something. So it got me thinking, do angels come to take souls away? If that is true, it makes sense to me now that they would be called Grim Reapers, as they must feel grim to do that job, bittersweet. Thanks so much again. It's nice to have this enjoyable topic of angels. Okay, so let me start. Do they have colors? Do they have scents? Are they shape-fitting? I haven't actually seen them in colors. I usually feel them more than I see them. Sometimes there's scents like of people who were here before, but not so much in angels. They're more just like flickers of light. And, you know, even all the angels that I saw, even Michael, they were all white, white, white. There was never like, they weren't dressed in colors or like people. They didn't emulate people. They're not trying to be people. But there are angels that are walking amongst us. They're called earth angels. They were born here, they have bodies here, and they function here. But their approach is very even-handed because they're here for service. Like Christ told me, you know, you're not anybody special. This is your job. And it's exactly how he views himself, is that this is my job. This is what I do. So it, and even with Christ, although in when I saw him, his hair was lit, it looked like it was gold compared to the white. That was something I did see. And if you can say anything was colored, that was the most color I've seen the whole time. Otherwise, you know, I don't know. And are they shape shifting? They are. They were different. They, you know, Michael looked completely different than, you know, the other angels I've seen. So it's in, you know, different than Christ, definitely. I didn't see a ton of them. Like I said, most of the time I heard them, I felt them. But I didn't see actually a lot of them. I didn't really think of that deeply until now. But can they become visible or take on a human physical body? Yes, they can. They obviously, I've had both. I've seen both. And like I said, you know, when they take on a human physical body, they don't take on somebody else's body. They just show up in a body and then they leave. But they, you know, our bodies aren't taken over at will, you know, when somebody needs something done. But when people do drugs, and when people drink alcohol and get drunk, the strength of their conscience decreases, so they have no filter of what comes in. So any energy comes in and takes on their their body. They're just using them because they have no control of their own. So you know how sometimes you might have a crazy thought and you might, you know, say, there's no way I'm going to do that. There's no way I'm going to pay attention to that. But when you're under the influence of anything, it takes out that wall that says, there's no way I'm going to do that, and you do it. And sometimes you remember it, sometimes you don't. But for the most part, people do remember everything they've done unless they were so far gone that their entire conscience was gone. And then, you know, people tell them what they did and they all laugh about it, or they did something that they didn't know they did, or they hurt someone or something. So there's a lot that happens with the drinking and what can take over a human body. But that was in Origins of Truth. It made sense that now we call it alcohol and we call it drinking. But when alcohol first came out, they used to call alcohol spirits, because somewhere in there they understood that when you drank, and let's say you had more than a few drinks, that you were not yourself. It's amazing when you think of it that way, because we're being sold drinks, sex, and a great night and a lot of fun because they want to sell us stuff. But when we take it, it's not in our best interest. It never was and it never will be. I could see people drinking wines but you know, the other stuff, it never really actually tastes good. You have to get yourself used to drinking it and to enjoying it. It's not something that you just enjoy the first day you've done it. It's like smoking. The first time people smoke, they actually have to get over how toxic it is to enjoy it. So, and then do they evaporate into spirit again? They come when you need it. So a lot of times, like if there's an accident or something happens, and I've talked about this on the show before, someone will just show up out of nowhere. They will help you, and you'll turn around to say thank you to them, and they're gone. They're just gone. Nobody knows who they were. Somebody might have seen them with you, might have not. They didn't show up in a car, and they didn't leave in one. Just like they just showed up and they helped you do something and then they left. And I feel like they're like the little connectors. They come in and they just kind of say, okay, you know, your body's in trouble right now, but you're meant to stay here, so let me help you out. And they help you out and then they're gone. And then the rest is left up to you, but you're left with the miracle of knowing and have seen that. Because when one of us sees something like that, it's a hard story to hold on to. And we start telling people, and other people start believing that, you know what, if we need it, it's there, it's available. And most of the time it comes when someone says, God, help me. Because God doesn't interfere with us without our free will. And when we say it at that time, we mean it. If we ever mean it, we're going to mean it in a time like that. Now, do angels come and take souls away? No, not at all. They never take a soul away. A soul, when we're ready to pass, the veil is broken. We now can see where we're going. That's why some people will say we wake up when we die here. When we physically die here, we wake up, our minds, our souls are free again. Because here we have to listen to bills and we have to listen to things that, you know, don't even make sense to life and didn't make sense even 30 years ago or 35 years ago to live in such shackles of making less money than we need to spend and all of that. All that goes away the minute you get sick or you know you're going to die. Not everyone gets that pleasure of really living through that last part. Some people die instantly. My dad, he died instantly. My mom, it took a few months. She kind of went back and forth. But angels don't come and take us. There isn't like a death angel that shows up and takes you every time someone's going to die here. But what happens is your veil is broken and you go. You know where you're going. You want to go back. You realize that it's home. I've walked in on people 2 or 3 days before they were going to pass, and they'd be telling their partners, even people who weren't that cognizant of themselves, would be whispering or saying, or some one man was screaming, "I want to go home." They just didn't know how to get there. But they realized that the home they're in wasn't home. And they use the expression home, which I love to hear, because that's something Christ calls. He doesn't say heaven or hell, because there's no hell. He just says home. And another thing about animals, by the way, and this is the beauty of any animal, all animals can see both worlds at one time. They're not veiled. They're purely instinctive. They have like this template that knows exactly what to do, how to feed itself, how to take care of itself. It lives on this earth in total freedom. But they can see both worlds at one time. That's why dogs, cats, whatever pet you have that you allow in your home, you feel so close to, because they are a connector between the two. We fall in love with their innocence. We fall in love with their instincts. We study them to know how to treat them, because each one of them comes with a different job. And then they go. Because when a cat is fighting something off, sometimes just taking the soul out of its body, it's not an easy thing to do. It takes cats a while. It takes, you know, every pet has a way of dying, but cats usually like to go off and be alone to do that. And so if they were not leaving and coming back, because they start doing that towards the end, sometimes they don't know how to do it in front of the people they love. It's a very interesting phenomenon that happens with cats, but you know, sometimes they don't want to leave because they could feel your pain, and they're very sensitive to the people they love. And so it's a very interesting whole entire world with cats. But they don't fight dying because they can see both. So to them, they're not actually dying, but they are leaving. They are leaving, and they feel bad about that, especially when they feel your feelings and you're aware of the fact that they're passing. So that's also another interesting thing. But there is never a downside to angels or someone who, oh, you know, the death angel is going to come for you and then I'm going to lose you or something like that. You don't even need to go there. You just don't even need to do it. So I hope I answered all of your questions, Maureen. I have Christopher Sedre's question. And he said, "Hi, Nadia, question. Can I have God without religion?" Quick answer, yes. Every religion says that its purpose is to sanctify life, to change attitudes, to keep one thinking of self and the group as children of God. But it can also justify behavior if it is not used properly. Think of it pragmatically for a minute. If you are going to start a religion or you are going to change your religion to an organized one, every religion comes with certain rituals, certain acts, when they hope will prove enlightening to the people who do not get it yet, and they hope will reinforce the understanding of those who get it. For example, Euchar, so it's like such, Echerist, I hope I said that right, "Take this into my body, this is my blood, yay." They suppose to be revolutionary experience for people who have not had it yet. Yet you suppose to say, "Oh my God, the bread and the wine is really the physical manifestation of God's presence. And if that is the case, so it must be. I am digesting it and I am sharing it with you. You must be too. Oh wow, it is not that amazing. The whole day must be God's day. It is a miracle." You're supposed to walk out with your attitude completely changed. But you know how easy it is not to get that point. To say I was in church this morning, where were you? To not understand a minute of that. As soon as you settle a ritual, you run that risk. And yet, for people who get it, it is who get it, constant joy to participate in Mass. The geniuses, when it comes to the rituals, are the Muslims who have just enough for people to keep them visit, but not enough to make it impossible, but enough to interpret you all the time to keep your focus. You have to pray 5 times a day. That is a lot. It is enough to keep you going when you get to Mecca once in your life and you know and you have to be hospitable. What sort of God demands that things from us? Can we find our own path without God? There's still a lot more to it, but I get the whole point of this question, and I don't want to run out of time. As a result of seeing Christ, oh, Eucharist, thank you, Francis. See, I just have Francis over here. She's got it down. Thank you so much. Ever since I saw Christ, all I see is God without religion. I can't see God with religion. I've gone to religions. I've gone to churches to hear what they had to say, especially when I first saw Christ, because I wanted to attach to something, to someone. And I went to, I can't tell you how many churches, and I just sat in the back and I hoped to God that I would find my answers. And what I found out was that religion isn't God. God is God. Yet God is a part of everyone's religion. He is the motivation for religion, for the structure of life. But religion is a chosen way of life to live that will remind you and include you and include your thoughts, and that's how people express it. But if we were all born, and I really want you to think about this, if we were all born and no one told us about a religion, no one raised us a certain way, we didn't have churches, we wouldn't look for that. That's something that has to be taught. We don't naturally know religion. But we do naturally know God. When we are born, have a sense, and we know that there's something more than here, that somebody created this. And I don't want to say somebody like a person, but we're people, so we don't know how to think bigger than that initially as a child. But we're like, where did the sun come from? How come the sun comes up and then it goes away? How come when it's dark I can't see? You know, this is how kids talk. They want to know. They don't even know what time is. We have to teach them what time is. Think about that, because those are things that when we're born, by the time we're 5 or 6, all the time, or we've done this, we think that's what life is. But when we have to be taught so heavily, my biggest question was to Christ when I saw him, because, you know, I'm born Muslim. That comes with a big, big pile of work with it, and every religion has its own rituals and its own ways. However, again, I had to be taught that. I didn't even learn it till later because there wasn't anyone to teach us. But we naturally know there's a God. So whichever way you choose, just like Christ said, whichever way you choose to get to God is the way that's best for you. But we don't judge any way you can get to God. And as long as it takes you to God, as long as you feel good about it taking you to God, because we will commune, we will get together naturally. We don't have to be scared into it or worried about it or feel like we have to do certain things for it. But it's part of our challenge to accept each other over and above it. But if you lived in a desert and were born in a place where there wasn't even a school and you didn't know, you would still know there was a God. And on that, I don't any time left. Have a great weekend, you guys. I love you so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com. www.theattractionsmagazine.com.